1 John chapter 4. It's page 1023. 1023 in the red Bibles in front of you. We're starting a new series tonight for 4 weeks called Marriage and Family Relationships. And I'm convinced, no, I shouldn't say this. Let me say it this way. God convinced me this week. On Friday morning, as I was laying prostrate on the floor, just crying out to him about this series, because I really didn't understand it. And it really wasn't connecting for me the way I like to feel it connect for me. And God showed me something that I went, oh, now I know. This series is about personal revival. This is not a new series. It's really the continuation of what we've just come off of in the last 6 weeks, where we had the invitation from Hosea, come, let us return to the Lord. For he's torn us that he may heal us, and he struck us down so that he can bind us up, so that we can live in his presence and live there in the most glorious of ways. And God showed me very clearly on Friday morning as I was laying before him praying, pleading with him for some resolution in my understanding about this, that Rich, this is nothing more than this is where the rubber meets the road in revival. This is where, if we will hear what the Spirit says, God will turn on the shower faucet and the showers of heaven will pour down over us and we'll experience revival in our lives. 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 through 12, the beloved life, eyes on the prize. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love. Not that we've loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. What that means, propitiation means he sent the Son to satisfy. Propitiation means to satisfy. And he sent the Son to satisfy the wrath of God against our sins. So he loved us and he sent his Son to be the propitiation, the satisfaction for our sins. Verse 11, beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us. On the sixth day of creation, Genesis 1:26, God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. He was talking to the other two in the Trinity. Let us make man in our image, in our likeness. In other words, he's saying, you know what? Let's shape man after us, the Trinity. Let's make the human race reflective of who we are, and let's fashion him, humanity, mankind, in our characteristics. And do you know what that primarily means? What that primarily means is that man was created for interpersonal relationships with one another. The Trinity has always been a Trinity and will always be a Trinity, three in one. And God by nature exists in fellowship and relationship with one another within the Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. We talked about this 2 weeks ago. The greatest suffering that Jesus ever went through on the cross was not the physical pain from the crucifixion. You remember this? But the greatest suffering that Jesus Christ went through on the cross was the separation from the relationship with the Trinity, from his Father. He said, my God, why have you forsaken me? He was crying out because of the pain, of the suffering, of that separation, of the union, of the oneness between the Father and the Son. He was separated from that perfect relationship. Now, man was created in the image of God to experience that kind of relationship that the Trinity has. And Paul said, or I'm sorry, John says here, beloved, let us love one another. Why? For love is from God. The perfect love is from the Trinity relationship itself. There is no doubt that love is the central focus of the relationship of the Trinity. And love is to be the central focus on how you and I live life down here in relationship with one another. Are you with me? Love should permeate our marriage relationships. Love should permeate our family relationships. And love should permeate our friendships. Love's the overflowing characteristic of God Himself that's been poured into your life and into mine. And we're to live in that love. Our eyes should be focused on the prize of the love of God that's been poured out for us on our behalf, and that prize that we have the privilege of living out, as Brian just testified to, that people are testifying to that love to other people and seeing lives change for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Our eyes need to be focused on the prize of love. What are your eyes focused on these days? You know, it's been pretty interesting to watch the Olympics. Have you been watching the Olympics this last week? Kieran and I, Kieran's kind of loves the figure skating, and I follow Kieran, so we watch figure skating. Got some brownie points there, didn't I? And we've watched about half probably of it. It's been a very busy week, and we've been in the States and back and haven't seen it all, but the nights and the times that we've watched, it's been some to good results and some not to so good results. And I don't think there's anything that breaks one's heart more than to see an athlete who's competing their heart out and then suddenly in the middle of their routine they fall and crash to the ice. It's heartbreaking. It's heartbreaking for the athlete who's competing. I think it's heartbreaking for the coach. It's heartbreaking for their family. It's heartbreaking for their country. And I find myself being heartbroken just as a spectator about that when that happens. Their eyes, as a competitor, has been on the prize for several years in hopes of winning the gold medal, in hopes of being declared the champion of figure skating. And your eyes are on the prize as that athlete. That's what it takes to accomplish what you've been training for. Your eyes are on the prize to obtain the supreme level of being champions, to be declared the best in the world, to reach the top, to experience what it is to perform at a standard that few ever obtain. You see, in marriage and family relationships, I've discovered that it's all too easy to forget where our focus is supposed to be, and instead of having our eyes on the prize, we're too consumed with getting it our own way. Instead of having our eyes on the prize, instead of relationships that are foundationally built on love because Christ first loved us, and demonstrated that love to us, we instead demonstrate rudeness and anger and hatred and bitterness and jealousy and all the unloving attitudes that destroy and that tear apart relationships instead of loving them, which should be building them up because Christ has first loved us. John tells us here in verse 9, look at it with me. John tells us that God sent Jesus into the world, and here he gives the reason, so that we might live through him. How are you living these days? God sent Jesus into the world so that we might live through him. What is the vehicle through which you are living your life? Your own self? Your own pride? Your own desires? Your own flesh? Or are you living through the Lord Jesus Christ, who's come to fill your life in the power of the Holy Spirit? You see, if I gain anything out of that, I gain this. We're given the passageway. You and I, as believers in Jesus Christ, are given the map. We're given the map on how to do relationships God's way. God's way. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son. You see, if we learn anything about relationships, it's the need to sacrifice, to give it up, to lay it down, to let go, and to trust and to affirm and to declare to our loved ones, you are the most important thing to me in this world. Who have you said that to lately? In your marriage? And in your family? And in your friendships? Who have you declared to them that they're the most important in the world to you? Who have you said, I love you. You are God's gift to me. And I thank God every day that you're in my life. Relationship is about your eyes on the prize. The prize being enjoying the love relationship that God planted in you at your creation and designed you to be in from creation, that he demonstrated to you and I through the giving of his own son, the Lord Jesus Christ. God himself has never existed in a single, solely, solitary manner. He's never existed in isolation. He has never existed in some kind of cut-off, remanufactured form of relationship. He's always existed in the fullness of the family. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, three in one, the Trinity. And God has so designed you and I that we might enjoy and relate to him and to one another in that exact same fashion. This desire still resides in our human hearts today, even after all these millennia since creation. We still long to be loved. We still long to be needed in our human relationships, as well as with the relationship with God. Love is the theme song of more songs. Love is the theme of more movies. Love is the theme of more plays, more books, more than any other things. Our hearts cry out, will you love me? Will you love me? Will you love me? It permeates our society. But we live in a fallen world, don't we? We may have started out as a flaming love relationship in marriage, and too quickly it sours, and love has been lost to a mere toleration with one another, or even worse, bitterness and hatred within that marriage relationship or that family relationship. And we ask inside of ourselves, what can I do to get love back? What can I do? How can I express love to this unloving person within my family? Can I really love someone who does not love me back? What do I do with a child who refuses relationship with me? What do I do? And those are honest questions. Really, really honest questions. And I believe they deserve honest answers. But I want you to understand something about those questions. Those questions that we just asked, how do I get love back? How do I revive it? How do I love someone who's not willing to receive that love? Those are the questions. They originated, you know where? They originated in the heart of God himself. Remember the Garden of Eden and the fall of Adam and Eve? That was the question that was forming in the mind of God when they had fallen into sin. And God thought within himself, how do I get love back within this relationship with Adam and Eve? It originated in the heart of God. What do I do with this child who has refused my love and gone their own way? Look again with me at verses 9 and 10. Because I believe John gives us the answer to God's questions about relationship. He says this, "In this, the love of God was made manifest among us." And this isn't some abstract principle here. This is not some far-off thing. He says this, "In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent His only Son into the world so that we might live through Him." And he goes on, "In this is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins." And then I love verse 11. He brings it all together. "Beloved, if God so loved us," and we could add in there, "that way, if God has so loved us, we also ought to love one another." Do you want to know how to love? Do you want to know how to try and rekindle something that's faded away? Do you want to move from toleration in your relationships to true love? Then do what God did. He gave Himself away to you and I. Verse 9, "God sent His only Son into the world. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us." Listen, relationships stop being loving because we stop giving ourselves away in those relationships. Think about that. It happened for Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. They stopped giving themselves to God, and instead they started desiring the things that they wanted, other things. Love was lost at that moment, and sin was born. The Bible says God is love. And God defines what love is. He defines it by His kindness. He defines it by His generosity. He defines it by His goodness. He defines it by His compassion. And most of all, He defines it by His redemptive grace being poured out on us through the cross of Jesus Christ. In Matthew 5, Jesus said, "Love your enemies as your heavenly Father does." There's a love that God has for the world that He shows us even while we are still His enemies, still sinners. And you might say to me, Rich, you don't know how difficult it is in my relation, difficult my relationship is right now. I try to love my spouse, and all I get back is anger and bitterness. I try to give my child love, and all I get back is rejection from them. Listen, I'm going to say the same thing to you that I've been saying to you for the last number of weeks. You cannot control the reactions of your spouse or your child. But you can move yourself to love by the desire that God has planted in you at creation. You can focus your eyes on the prize. And your prize is the fact that you know and understand God and His love that's been poured out for you. Again, verse 11. "Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another." Easy? No. Possible? Absolutely possible. Absolutely based on what God did in sending His only Son to be a propitiation for your sin and for mine. Whether your spouse or your child, or your brother or your sister or your parent chooses to receive your love towards them is not your doing. What is your doing is your responsibility to act in a manner worthy of the gospel of Jesus Christ, to live holy and pleasing to God today in this present world in your relationships. Your responsibility then is to be clothed with the love of Christ and then go forth in that love, showing it to everyone around you. Yes, even the most difficult people in your life. You say, "How do I do that? I mean, Rich, really? How do I do that?" Well, I'll tell you how you do it the same way that it's been given to us through grace. The answer is how you show love is by extending grace the way that God extends grace to you and to me. Verse 11, beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. We're called to love. Why? Because he's put that capacity to love inside of us by the very fact that God's nature dwells in us and we are his characteristics. And we're called to love because we've seen the model of his love in Jesus Christ. Greater love is no man than this, said Jesus, that a man lay down his life. For what? For his friends. This love is about sacrifice. This love is so missing in our Christianity today, because our Christianity in today, especially in America, and I believe in Canada, is all about me. And it's all about me. And it's all about me. It's all about how I get satisfied and how I can be happy in this life. It's not about Christ. It's not about others. Beloved, we've seen the model. We've seen the example. You never need to ask the question, what does it mean to love somebody else? It means to make the sacrifice as Jesus Christ did. I was deeply touched by that testimony that Brian shared of, was it Kiam? Daniel, I'm sorry, who said, I'm willing to go, and it's probably going to cost me my life. That young man knew sacrifice at its most intimate and deepest level, sacrifice of love that's been poured out in his life through Jesus Christ. Look at this verse for a moment. It's just one chapter back. 1 John chapter 3, verse 16. By this we know love. Now get that statement. He said, we know it, we know it, we know it. By this we know love, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. You know, I don't know what's happened to us. Quite frankly, I think we have a huge, huge hole in our gospel. As Richard Stearns wrote the head of World Vision in his newest book, I encourage you to buy that book and read it. A hole in our gospel. But something, somehow we have forgotten. Somehow we have disconnected the fact that our spouses and our children and our siblings, our very brothers and our sisters, they are our brothers and sisters that we're to take the love of Jesus Christ to. It's not just over across the seas. It's not just down in Mexico to the Hispanic people. It's not just over to China. We're to take the love of Jesus Christ and lay down our lives for our brothers, which includes that most difficult person in my life and in my relationships. They're the very ones that we're being talked to about right here in 1 John 3:16. By this we know love, when we love them the way Christ laid down his life to love us. You see, our ability to love comes from the life of God living in us. In what form? We talked about it last week, the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, I'm leaving, but when I leave, I'm going to send you another, the Helper, the Holy Spirit, who will live in you. And our ability to love comes from the fact of God living in the form of the Holy Spirit, the third of the Trinity, inside of us. And our duty to love is demanded by the immensity of the sacrifice of the Father giving up of his Son. That love is your standard, and it's my standard. And we understand the cross because we understand and experience salvation in the name of Jesus Christ. And we understand salvation, therefore we must understand true love. It was a sacrificial love that's been given to us. Listen to what Paul says in Ephesians 5, 1 and 2. Therefore, because we've been given that love, therefore, because the Trinity is living inside of us in the form of the Holy Spirit, therefore, because love's been poured out on our behalf, therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children. And walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us. a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Do you want to know how to really love in this life? Imitate God in what he's done for you and for me. And then as he says here, imitate Jesus Christ in how he was willing to lay down his life. Just as Christ loved you and gave himself up for you, God gave his son, and his son gave up his own life. There you have it. There it is. That's the model of love. It's sacrifice, supreme sacrifice. So we're to love one another because God is the source of that love and because we bear his nature inside of us. Therefore, we've literally been flooded with that love in our hearts through Jesus Christ. And we're to love one another because Jesus is the manifestation of the Father's love, and Jesus himself is the example of self-giving love on our behalf. Let me give you one more reason that we're to love. We're to love because love is our testimony. Love is our testimony. Look at verse 12 with me. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us. No one's ever seen God. Well, how in the world, if no one's ever seen God, how in the world are people going to fall in love with a God they cannot see? How will they know of his power? And how will they know of his glory? People will come to know God, John says here, if we love one another. God abides in us, his perfecting love dwells within us, and he's on display when we show that love to those around us. That's the point. God is manifestly on display through us when we love in our relationships, whether it be your marriage, your family, or your friendships. God's on display. It's your testimony, living testimony of who God is, because we can't see him except the way through the way which we love in our relationships that we're called to love in. Jesus said here in the Gospel of John, chapter 13, 34 and 35, what? A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I've loved you, you also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. That's the testimony there. God didn't just give us love. He gave us the example of love. And then he made love that way in which he discloses himself to those in the world, those around us who can never see him. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ here tonight, you have the capacity to love through Christ's love that's been poured into you. You have the example to love, and you have the responsibility to love. And because that's how you prove you belong to God, love is the core of your Christian experience. It's supposed to be, at least. Is it your testimony to the world? Is it your testimony to those you're in relationship with, in your marriage, in your family, in your friendships? Without love, you really have nothing to offer in that relationship that you're involved in. Think about that. Without love, you can't draw others to Jesus Christ, especially those whom you are so close to. Is it any wonder that Peter wrote in 1 Peter chapter 3, women, it's really, really important that you're beautiful on the inside. Because when you're beautiful on the inside with a gentle and quiet spirit, you'll win your husband without words. How? Through love. Through love. I just love that passage that Peter gives there in 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. It's a beautiful example of what we're talking about the power of love, the testimony of love within us. Well, and this is love, John says. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and he sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Give me your attention. Application time. What do you need to do? What do you need to do? Does your marriage feel unloving? What do you need to go home and start doing? You need to go home and start decisively, conscientiously, without holding back, loving your spouse. Jesus Christ has given you everything you need. Remember, as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you walk not in your power, but in the power of the Holy Spirit who dwells in you. I challenge you to go home and start loving unconditionally. Stop fretting over whether you get love back or not. That's not the issue. Remember, you do not control the reaction of the other person. You have control over the responsibility that God has called you to. Love, love, love. Do you have that child who's rejecting you over and over and over again? So it keeps telling you, I don't want to hear it, I don't want to hear it. I'm telling you, love. Go home and love, love, love that child. Communicate whatever it takes that you love that child unconditionally. Write it, call it on the telephone, speak it out loud, tell them that. You may not want to hear this, my darling girl, but I want you to know that I love you, I love you, I love you. You're the most important girl in my life. You're my daughter, and I love you. Do you have that son who's trying to be macho and you've never talked to about love? Dad, maybe it's time to tear down your pride and to go home and call that son on the phone and say, son, I love you. You're important to me. You matter to me. I just want you to know I love you and I don't want to live without you in my life. Folks, we're just called to obedience. And when we're obedient, do you know what God's going to do? He's going to turn on the shower valve of heaven and revival's going to come over your life and my life. He's going to pour down the glory of heaven over us in our obedience. He's going to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's going to rejoice in heaven because there's a believer in Jesus Christ who stands up and walks in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ instead of worrying about me, 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 and what I get and how satisfied I am. He's going to say, well done, believer, because you have sacrificed, you have obeyed, you have laid it down because Jesus, my son, laid it down for you. You'll never experience revival in your life without obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ. And the very foundational principle of revival, the very foundational principle of revival is love. The love that's been poured out for you that we're called to demonstrate and love. Not that we loved him, but that he loved us. And beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Will your spouse change? Maybe. Will your child change? Maybe. We pray by God's grace they will. But who needs to change first? You and I do. As we walk in the love of Jesus Christ. Would you pray with me? God, thank you for showing us something that is so beyond us, God. This love of heaven that you demonstrated for us in the giving of your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. Oh, how you demonstrated your love to us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That he was willing to go to the cross as the satisfaction for our sin, the propitiation to pay the penalty for our sin, so that we can know you, the one true God, without end. Amen. That we could have a relationship, a love relationship with you. That you would come and dwell in us and seal us until the day when Jesus Christ comes again. And that you would command us to go into all the world and make disciples, loving them, baptizing them, and teaching them to obey everything that you command us. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. God, we know that love covers over a multitude of sins, and we know that we're called to forgive because that's what love does. It forgives. We know that we're called to step out in love and get out of our comfort zone and let go and trust you with our eyes on you and not on us and not on our circumstances. We know that we've been called to a greater kingdom, the kingdom of God. We're called to a higher purpose, a higher privilege. We have a calling on our lives, Lord, to fulfill the purposes of love to which you've called us. To testify to those around us, to our husbands and our wives, our sons and our daughters, our brothers and our sisters, our children and our grandchildren, of the glory and the supremacy and the power of the God of heaven and earth, and the Savior, the Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, help us to testify of that love by the way in which we live. So God, I would pray for every one of us here tonight. Increase our faith to trust you in these areas where some of us are deeply hurt about. And God, pull us out of our bondage in the power and the grace that's been poured out for us. Help us to believe you, even though we can't see with our eyes. To trust you implicitly because your promises are sure and faithful and true. God, help us to walk in your promises. Help us to believe your word. For who can stand in the holy place? Who can ascend the hill of the Lord? But he who has pure hands and a clean heart. Who does not lift up his soul to what is evil. Who does not swear deceitfully. That person, your word promises, will receive the blessings of the Lord God of heaven and the righteousness of your salvation. Lord, we want to walk. We want to live. We want to trust. We want to obey. We want to be pure people in your sight. God, do that in us as we give ourselves humbly to you. In Jesus' name, amen.